Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
I am absolutely confident you will all thoroughly enjoy, both with his experience and intimacy with COVID-19, but also just his dynamic abilities as a multipreneur. You know, I just wanted to check in, follow up. I know we've been talking for the last 6 weeks in our series about how to stay on top of your business game amidst coronavirus, right? And again, I just want to reiterate the importance of making sure that you are obviously applying for any small business grants or loans, making sure that your applications are in, they're completed. There's a lot of money still out there, folks. Make sure you are fully applying for it and doing your part, because as you probably can tell, things are actually quickly moving on this front, right? Things are changing. New bills are being promoted in Congress, pretty much every week in some way, shape, or form, some which are affecting coronavirus, some which are not. But make sure you're doing your part. It's only going to help you in the end. And you definitely want to be on the front end of these items, not on the back end. So I don't know about everyone else, but I had a fabulous weekend. I actually got a little bit too sunburned. I spent too much time out in the sun yesterday, and other than that, was doing a little bit of brush up on my real estate studies for my California real estate renewal, which is up for renewal here in a couple months. But outside of that, pretty easy weekend. I noticed that a lot of my friends and colleagues and business partners out in California, which I look forward to hearing from EJ directly about, we're out at the beach this weekend. So I saw all kinds of pictures out on social media of people flocking the Newport Beach, Laguna Beach, all the Orange County beaches in drones, which is obviously good to see again. It's good to see people out and enjoying life once again, obviously practicing social distancing where possible. But I'm excited that it seems like in some areas things are relaxing a bit. We are still way far away, in my opinion, from being out of this. You know, there's a lot of, I know Governor Newsom, at least in California, has indicated there's six key indicators that he'd like to see progress on before, relaxing the stay-at-home order. So again, stay close to those, stay close to his communication, which I think he's basically coming out with daily updates now at this point. All right, enough about coronavirus and all the housekeeping items. I am so thrilled to introduce our guest for today, Mr. EJ Cruz. Now, I've met EJ through a common mutual connection, and EJ is a registered nurse manager, small business investor, media consultant, host of a top 100 podcast called The Parables, which if you can see him on video right now, he's got it all decked out there. He's got his at-home Parables podcast studio there, which I love, by the way. You know, great job furnishing it. He's also a founding member of the globally recognized entrepreneur group, Erite Syndicate, and has a passion for people and networking. EJ is known for his positivity, his high energy, and an environment that he's involved in. He has a couple different links that he'll be promoting at the end, but just for your knowledge up front, ejcruz.com And he's also out on podcasts. So the Parables podcast, if you search in Apple Podcasts, is out there on podcasts available as well. Without further ado, let's welcome Mr. EJ Cruz to the show. EJ, welcome, my man.
Justin, how are you, brother?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know what? I share the same misfortune as you. I don't know if you guys could see it, but I'm actually sunburned myself. I overcalculated the sun exposure on Saturday, and I am pretty burnt. I'm feeling it right now.
I'm obviously in Texas right now. I know you're in California, but it doesn't matter where you're at in the country right now. It's that time of year when the sun is more potent than you think. So you don't show your burn bad as I do, though. Mine's more red. Yours has got that nice brown, golden tan going on. So for yours, that's for sure. Well, EJ, tell me, I know I just introduced you, but, you know, just share for the listeners out there. Just tell everyone a little bit more about yourself in your own words.
Yeah, sure. So, again, I thank you for having me. It's a true honor and a privilege. So, again, my name is EJ Cruz. I'm a registered nurse manager. I've been in the healthcare profession for about 10 years here in Southern California in the Inland Empire area. And, I've been really loved it. Short story about that. I was kind of bribed into the profession. I have a family full of nurses. We're talking to my mom, my two older sisters, a Filipino background. And although I kind of got bribed into it, it was probably one of the best things that happened to me. Learned a lot. Started as a nurse on the floor. I was actually fortunate enough. Got my license in 2010. Excuse me. Initially, prior to the recession, there was a huge, huge like recruiting effort to like, hey, come join us at our organization. You know, we have incentives, sign-on bonuses. And of course, after the recession, it was almost like impossible or really, really difficult at least to find a job, at least here in California. So I was lucky enough to get a job right off the bat as a new grad. Worked on the floor for about 6-7 years and continued my education. Was actually more than halfway done with my master's degree in family nurse practitioner focus. But you know what? I walked into clinicals one day and I finally decided and told myself, I always knew I wanted more and that I had this entrepreneurial spirit. And, you know, when you're a nurse, you're really community focused. And I knew that it was time for me to get more on a more global focus. So I basically stopped and decided to pursue more in regards to my bachelor's degree, got into management, been doing it for about 3 years, 3 to 4 years. During that time also, I started to expand my mind a little bit, started to tap into my entrepreneurial blood and spirit, got into a lot of different communities, some networks, some really remarkable groups, listening to podcasts. And, I'm just on this entrepreneurial journey right now while still being a full-time registered nurse. And, as you said, in your intro, we're living at in a very weird and unique time. And unique is not as far as good, but just in regards to the changes that we expect to happen or the uncertainty that we don't know what's going to happen actually, post-pandemic. And, I've been blessed and fortunate enough to be surrounded by amazing people with great integrity, high energy, positive energy, people who've, been able to mentor me. And one of my goals is, with my podcast platform, with my speaking and all the other stuff I do is to really just make that positive impact on the world and pay it forward, to those people who are looking for that guidance or just that direction, to unlock their full potential. So yeah, it's just been, I feel like I'm in a different next step of my life or a new journey. I used to be very, very fearful of what uncertainty looked like, but I actually look at it now, like I'm actually more excited. So that's kind of everything that's happening with me right now. I'm just, really excited to, get on talk radios like this and, share my passion and share, magnify my inspiration and all the good stuff I'm trying to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love what you just said too, EJ, about fear or as I like to call them, the self-limiting beliefs or the self-sabotaging thoughts or said differently, that head trash, right, that we all get from time to time, that really prevents us from striving for our vision, our unparalleled vision in the world, right? What is it that makes us excited, you know, first thing in the morning when we wake up, that we're just freaking passionate about, that we have to make happen, right? And that's really what it's about. So I love that you touched on that. I want to obviously dig deeper into your entrepreneurial ventures. You have a lot of them going on, and you have a lot of value to offer our listeners today. But before we do, because of the timeliness of it, I want to hear some personal stories right now from you, you know, and I'm sure our listeners do too, obviously, amidst COVID-19. Can you just share a little bit more about what you're seeing in the trenches as a nurse right now?
Yeah, but you know what? It's just a crazy time, I got to say. You know, so I'm in management, and, you know, it's crazy because everyone's always reaching out to me, asking me how I'm doing, you know, how's everything at the hospital, you know, just sending their prayers my way, you know, being that, you know, I guess I'm, one of the first in line, you know what I mean? And, you know, I'm in management, so I know I'm in the hospital and I am exposed, but the real credit has to go to those people who are really in the front line, right? Fire department, ER nurses, and everyone, even all the so-called essential workers. But you know, it's just crazy. I guess to sum it all up is, I'm like in this neutral position, and the reason why is because, you know, you get this perspective being in the actual profession and what you see at least in your own hospital, right? And you have to remind you have to put into perspective every location and region is different, right? What's happening in New York is not happening in California, or at least certain areas in California, right? But at right. the same time, you know, you see the news, you see all this media stuff coming out. And I feel like we are being fed a lot of fear, which is such a huge disservice to us. And just to give you an example, you know, in regards to the mortality data of like the pandemic, right? It's in a lot of question. Because, you know, we're being told that the total death numbers of COVID-19 is underestimated right. due to like this lack of testing, and that death toll is like actually higher. But I mean, even then, the accuracy of like the coronavirus and fatalities is inaccurate, in the sense that I recently just read an article about this not too long ago, and that one in three death certificates before coronavirus is wrong already. So could you imagine, even with the data that's slowly coming in, and we're not even accounting the facts of, like, you know, the comorbidities, if someone has heart problems or lung problems already, how accurate is this data? You know what I mean? And you have to think about that data is so important, because that's what's causing this lockdown, this shutdown that's affecting the economy, affecting people's mental health. And something I even want to bring up too, that our friend brought up, that I thought I just want to bring up, that's really, really important, is that, you know, people with mental health issues, you know, they come to the hospital, who, you know, they seek treatment, and we get them to where they need to be. Because at least, you know, in our area, I almost feel like a lot, because of the social distancing and, you know, the guidelines that were given to us, we're seeing more of, like, obviously, if you have a medical condition, you're going to go to the hospital, right? But of course, if you are possibly being exposed to someone with COVID-19, or you have those symptoms, you're coming to the hospital. So what I'm trying to say is, it's almost like those people with the mental health issues, they're not going to the hospital, and we're seeing like a steady increase, or if not, you know, the suicide rate is outpacing almost the coronavirus deaths. And that's something, you know, that's just something to think about, because you imagine they're at home, you know, they're not getting the treatment they need. They're kind of confined to, you know, just their home, you know, like their home, like their room, right? So it's just like there's so many different things that's happening. I almost feel like there's always these new research and guidelines in regards to the CDC, infectious disease, and all this other stuff. And but at the same time, though, it's like, you know, I see, even I think yesterday, right, there's people gathering like at beaches. They're like, hey, we're done. We're tired of this shutdown. You know, let's get back to normal society. You know, I understand people's frustrations, but like, I could see, like, if I'm like one of those intensive care units who've been doing a 12-hour shift taking care of a COVID-19 patient, how that could be a slap to their face too. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard. Like, I'm in this neutral position, just because I'm a very perspective person, Justin, right? I like to look at different situations at all different angles. And it's just very interesting. What I will say, and this is my personal opinion, is that I don't think a lot of people think like we're on this track to going back to normal. And I think people need to ask themselves, what's your definition of normal, right? Because I personally, for me, I don't think things are going to be the same. Like, not in a drastic way, but things are going to change, right? I think I think it's going to take a longer time for small businesses and whoever's been, you know, hurting to recover, let alone, you know, I think we're going to go through this huge, like, we're still going to be going through this phase of social distancing, like, I don't know, germophobes or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, this is a time where, you know, I know we're going to talk about this, where people really need to not even just think brilliantly, but use common sense of how you're going to pivot during this change, right? And this is something that I've been trying to do as well, because during the social distancing and being confined to your home, exactly what are you doing to put yourself in a better position during these times? And in the future, because this, let's just be real, this is not going to be the last time something like this happens, right? So it's just something to really think about for everyone's listening out there, you know, just to keep your mind open. Don't believe like the first thing you read on Facebook, the first thing you see on AB, you know, hate to call out, you know, certain media outlets, you know, just keep an open mind, you know, and continue to be safe, but also just think for the future. Think about yourself, think about your family. What are you doing to protect your family, to protect yourself, to put yourself in a better position moving forward? And yes, it's some crazy times, man. I got to tell you. So
you kind of answered one of my questions, but I wonder if there's more discussion there, which was around your position on Governor Newsom's, which I know this doesn't apply for the whole country, but most of our, or a lot of our subscribers and our listeners are from California. So obviously we tend to cater to our Californians quite a bit. But his position on the how he's approaching the quarantine, and obviously I think if you compare it to like a Georgia, which is on the other end of the spectrum, right, where they've already opened things up and they're like trying to go back to, you know, business as usual almost, you know, California is a bit more, which is interesting as a fairly liberal state, a bit more conservative really in their approach. I think part of that is the dynamics of having you know, a highly populated, you know, very dense state in terms of the population. You know, but it's just interesting to your point. I think people like, again, I referenced that picture. I saw all over social media, all kinds of pictures of people at the beach this weekend. And I'm thinking to myself, I know people are anxious, right? They're antsy. They want to get out. Everyone has cabin fever. I mean, I do. I'm sure you do, right? Everyone has cabin fever right now. There's no doubt about that. But to your point, and it has a couple different shapes. Think about, and I love that you brought this up, it's around legacy. It's around family. Think about the long-term impact of you making a decision to, you know, not respect the quarantine rules. Perhaps you get infected with it, and perhaps it's dormant for a couple months, and you don't even know, right? I mean, because this thing has been shown that it can lay dormant for months. We might find it might even be up to a year, right? We don't have enough of a sample size or long enough testing period yet to determine that. And then all of a sudden, you're infecting your family and your loved ones, and I don't know. Trust me, I'm outgoing as they come, but I'm trying to take this seriously because I feel like this is one of those things in life. You cut to the bone and you cut once, right? You measure twice, cut once, as the old adage goes. This is that exact example. And it's kind of frustrating to me to see a lot of people now pivoting and just basically throwing all the rules out the window, especially the last week or so. I get everyone's, you know, anxious, but I mean, any additional thoughts on that as what you're seeing and just your medical background, what you would recommend to listeners out there, in particular, our listeners that are in California right now?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, my expertise is not on the actual disease and knowing all the numbers because they are inaccurate. I think, again, it's just from the health professional, you know, background and just, you know, from that perspective, I mean, truly, I have to say it's a slap to the face. You know, there's people out there that we are really treating some very sick people. And we're not even just talking like high risk you know, patients, right? We're talking about even like healthy people who are super sick, you know. On the flip side of that, though, there are people that I know that, you know, tested positive for COVID-19 and they are all basically asymptomatic, right? They're not exhibiting any symptoms, let alone if they are, they're very mild. And how many times have you woken up, Justin, right? And you're just like, you feel like, dang, I feel like I'm getting something. I'm sick. Next right. day, next couple of days, you know, it's nothing, right? Everything's back to normal. Or like the next day or so, you kind of like over evaluate, especially if you're a healthcare professional. You're always thinking the worst case scenario. That's how I am, at least. Like, oh, crap. What if I got this? What if I got that, right? So it's really hard to say. I think until we can gather more information, I mean, if you're going to go in a public area, I still think you should still be practicing social distancing. I think the reality is, you can't expect the whole California population to just stay home, right? That's just like, that's not going to happen. And I get why people are starting to go out, go to the beach and all that stuff. But until we have some definitive answers and some definitive data, I still think it's better that we continue to practice some of the guidelines until that, you know, that information is revealed. Because again, it could be one of those things. I mean, I think I read an article recently about the Spanish flu, right? Apparently, a couple people went to like a parade or something like that, and basically the disease came back and it killed a lot of people. And that was just because, you know, they took for granted of like I guess the recovery time or whatever it was. And that would be so unfortunate for us, being that, you know, we're trying to turn things around, right? And it's just wild, man. I mean, like, for instance, just the other day we did a drive-by birthday celebration for a friend of mine, and like,
oh wow.
You know, it was cool. I guess it was like kind of fun, but it's just like, man, I can't believe like society is like this right now. And even for my birthday, which passed, you know, I just threw a freaking, like, I'm sorry to get off topic, but I just threw a huge Zoom party. I was like, hey, hop on at 8 o'clock. You know, let's just have like a little toast. It was like literally like 10 minutes. But I think everyone, like, there was surprisingly a lot of people, Justin. And I think like people were just, where I'm trying to get, people were just like, man, it almost felt like I went out. You know what I mean? Like, they went out to dinner, like, I don't know, a Yard House or something, you know? And it's just, yeah, it's wild. I think for now, just continue to practice, you know, what's being recommended to us until further data comes. Because again, you know, at least from my standpoint, we still see some steady, we're still seeing a steady number of cases. So that's my advice.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I mean, that's sort of where I sit on the matter, to be honest. I think I've been pretty vocal about that. Obviously, I'm an outgoing person. I want to go hang out with everyone just as much as the next person. But I also know the social and medical ramifications of something like this, if not taken seriously, at least based on what I've researched and seen. And I think it's one of those things that if we do it once and do it right, then we'll have, you know, soon enough we'll have a vaccine and we'll have all of that in place, that it'll be like another flu. I mean, obviously a little more serious than the flu, but in the sense that, hey, we'll have ways to treat it and to prevent it and whatnot in the future. But it's a scary time, no doubt. Again, my thanks and my gratitude to you and to your team at the hospital for all the work that you're doing. You know, you are truly God's angels, especially the frontline workers, like you said. Just all our gratitude, you know, for you guys being there and just really helping drive this initiative forward so we can all get back to some sense of normalcy here in the future.
Appreciate that.
Well, let's go ahead and pivot, if we can, you know, to some more exciting topics like your Parables podcast. So tell us a little bit about how you founded the Parables podcast. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. I liked how, by the way, in the beginning you said multipreneur. I've never heard that. That's actually very interesting. I usually go by serial entrepreneur or something like that. But, yeah,
you know. EJ, no problem.
I'm going to have to steal that, you know? But yeah, so, you know, all my life, and this kind of dates back to kind of my background, I think I've always had this hustler mentality in the sense that I've always looked for means to make money, even as a little kid. When it came to, we're talking Pogs, Pokemon cards, Bubblicious bubblegum. I remember back in elementary school, I used to slang anything I could, right? Kind of like that Gary V, Craigslist mentality, or, you know, on eBay or whatever, which eBay I still do, by the way. But I've always had this hustle mentality of how to make money, right? How to go out there and get it. And, I've been doing it for such a long time. You know, I've had the background of, you know, again, eBay, e-com, selling on Craigslist, sneakers, you name it. I've sold lots of different things. And I finally came to a point in my life where I started to ask myself, you know what, how can I turn passion into a career? Or like, how can I harness the things that I really love and what I do? So I actually did the most cliche thing, not joking, for anyone's listening. I actually got a notepad, and I wrote down like the top five things that I knew that I enjoyed. And I remember definitely the top three things that I wrote there was, one was people. I love just meeting new people. I love to network. And I just love conversations. And it just so happened that when I looked at those three, I thought to myself, okay, what can I do with those three? You know, it's crazy because my dad, he's retired now, but he used to be a DJ, and he used to always drag me to these parties, even when I was a little kid too, by the way. And he would make me MC sometimes. I used to hate it. You know, and it's kind of, you look back at your life, you're like, man, it's crazy how like all these different things in your life, these experiences that set you up to what you do today, right? So I finally discovered that. I'm like, man, no wonder my dad, you know, wanted me to MC such a young, not that he knew I was going to be a podcaster, but it set me up to this, right? So, you know, I wrote down those three things, and I stumbled across, you know, the podcasting platform. So, you know, obviously, for those who, just a little background about podcasting, I think it's roughly about 14 years. It's basically the new blogging. In fact, it used to be called audio blogging. And initially what I thought was, okay, why don't I start a podcast and just see how it is? Like, I consider myself a serial hobbyist, actually. I like to try different things, and I get bored of things very easy. So right. I thought to myself, why don't I just try this and see how this is? I know I enjoy it, but let's just see where it takes me, right? Because, again, these are my passions. So literally, and then, just a little side story, this is when I was really getting into entrepreneurship, joining communities, getting into groups, right? And one of them being the RTA Syndicate that you mentioned, which is an entrepreneurial group that was founded by Ed Milet and Andy Frisella. And, it's one of those groups where you didn't feel alone. Like, you're in a group with, high level thinking people with ambition. You know, you used to, you know, every time you would, I always felt like I was just like this weird person who thought like I had like all these dreams and goals, and my mind's just racing all over the place. I finally found a group that understood me, and we were very close in the group, especially in Southern California, our chapter. And, I went to one of our meetings, and I told them this was my plan with the podcast. And luckily, this happened during that time, because I literally gained like about 15 accountability partners. And like, no joke, one of them literally just said, hey, EJ, give us a date. We're going to put it on a calendar. You need to start your podcast by that time. I'm like, oh crap. All right, let's go. So I was not playing. I went through a little analysis paralysis, and I bring up the story because this is, I hope everyone gets this message that, you know, I'm a nurse, right? I don't, until this day, you could ask anyone, I don't know anything about audio. This is a video podcast as well. So it's uploaded on YouTube. I'm not a sound engineer. I don't know anything about camera. In fact, my camera, all I know is on and off, to be honest, and record and stop. Like, that's the honest truth, right? I had to learn as I went. And what I'm trying to get is I went through this announced paralysis, right? Because of course you do your research, right? And I'm big on first impressions. I kind of was at that stage where I'm like, okay, if I'm going to do something, attach my name to it, I'll have to know it. Like, I put all my efforts into it. Because to me, if I were to put out a podcast, audio was terrible, the content was terrible, I could have started off really slow and really hard. But, you know, going back to analysis paralysis, I kept thinking like how to do my research. So I had like the high tech cousin that was like, EJ, you need to buy this. You need to buy that. This is like the best rated one. And everything he told me, you know, was almost like $10,000. Right. And then I'm researching on Google, trying to see what the most cost effective is, you know, equipment. But basically it all came down to, I got so sick and tired of thinking, I just went ahead and purchased some things and I made it work. And so what initially started, so for everyone listening, my podcast called The Parables. It's where I bring remarkable people from all walks of life, high profile, very successful entrepreneurs, to people who I feel need a voice, local community heroes that are, you know, who share their story and everything that's leading up to what they do today, right? And the goal is to really magnify their impact and their inspiration in hopes that my audience, which is crazy because Justin, I actually just looked today, I've reached 63 countries. I don't know anyone outside of the US and Canada, to be honest, right? So just
wow. Wow.
For people to listen to me, and hopefully anyone that listens is to gain some sort of morals, wisdom, knowledge, lessons, anything like that. And initially just started like, hey, I'm just going to bring on some people I know. Like, you know, I brought on like my first episode was like my personal trainer. Second person, sure. I think it was just a good friend in a different industry. I wanted to bring people first that I knew and kind of just like dive in into what got them into it, you know, the things I didn't know. And then I had such a great response that I was like, okay, let me start getting some people I don't know who'd still be interested in hopping on, right? So sorry, getting those people. And I'm up to, I think, like 78 episodes. I've slowed down a little bit because of COVID, because I like to do my podcast episodes in person. As you could, for everyone that's watching this, you could see I have a setup here. I literally transformed one of my guest rooms into a full-blown studio. And it's just been a blessing since, man. I have people reaching out to me that I don't know, telling me how this episode impacted their lives, how this one episode shifted their perspective, how this one episode gave them the confidence to go into a job interview. It's just been such a blessing. It's not only you know, fueled my passion more in regards to, you know, the things that I already knew I loved as far as people networking, but also it's opened up a whole new ecosystem as far as networking. My network has completely blown up in regards to like the people I've brought on, and it's led to different business deals. I've been able to bring people together. And I almost got empowered to be this resourceful person. It was kind of weird, but yeah, that's what the podcast is about. I guarantee anyone that listens to it, or I'm confident if you happen to listen to it, you will gain some value out of it. And it's just been such a fun ride, man. I got to tell you, man, podcasting is so fun. To those who are not familiar with podcasting, as far as like the content, it's unregulated for now. I don't know how that's going to look in the future. It's not controlled by algorithms or anything like that. You have full control of it. You could multi-purpose the content. Again, you could reach so many people like I have. It's a lot of fun. And anyone who just, you know, you could talk about literally anything, and you could have your own podcast show. It's incredible.
Well, and you know, EJ, I appreciate you sharing that personal story, because first of all, for all the listeners out there, we have a lot of people who are either already entrepreneurs and they've started a business and they're looking to take it to the next level, right?
Yes.
Or they are currently a corporate employee and they're looking to make a change, right? They're looking to jump to entrepreneurship and start their business for the first time. And I share with people time and time again, especially the people that I work with or that I coach, you know, one of the greatest pieces of advice I got when I was early on in my journey was, hey, if you're going to start a business, you either need to have something so ridiculously unique that it's basically, you could patent it, right? That's like one way, right? You have to have just outstanding passion and a message and a story that cultivates and fosters a community, right? A tribe. Or you have to be a brand or recognized authority, right? And so I kind of put podcast and being an author, right? Which initially when I started the entrepreneurial journey, writing a book was my first choice. So I didn't dive into podcasts. Again, that's one of my learning lessons. I wish I would have back then actually done both, to be honest. It probably would have helped both. I obviously started the podcast later on, but you're so right that being an authority and reaching more people and reaching more people through podcasts is such a unique opportunity right now, especially amidst COVID, by the way, where we all have more time right now. I mean, we all have always had the same amount of time, but with the restrictions on working and this and that, the time that you might have been working before, you now it's maybe freed up. And if it's freed up, that's time that you can invest back into your personal development. And as we've been sharing on this show for at least the last 6 weeks during our coronavirus season, if you will, this is the perfect time to brush up on your personal development. You know, dial into some podcasts. And by the way, folks, if you go in right now, or certainly by the end of this episode, go in and like and follow and subscribe to EJ's podcast, the Parables Podcast, because I'm a fan. I'm not only a fan of the content and the guests that he brings on, which are all just as dynamic as him, by the way, but he just has a unique perspective on the market. And I think you'll really enjoy it. For those of you that not only listen to the podcast, but actually watch the podcast, he takes such great timing care in the way he produces it. So kudos to you, EJ, everything you've done with the podcast. I'm a raving fan, I have to say, sir.
Thank you so much, man. And you know what? Like I said, I did not come from this background whatsoever. It was, I had to learn as I went. And it's exactly what you said. Being a podcast host is being compared to the you know, the authority of the likes of a speaker, the likes of an author. In fact, all those three, I call them the triple threat. If you notice, some of the most high profile, the most like high influential people out there, they do all three of those things, right? And it's just, you know, I like it too because it gives a voice to people, right? I've had all walks of life, right? I've had a member of the infamous Jabberwockies, original member. I've had a kid who was with a chronic illness, but he is training for the U.S. Paralympic snowboarding team. I've had multi-million entrepreneurs on the top 500 Inc. list, you name it. And I just feel like it gives a voice to people who are trying to do something good. And I'm very selective who I choose. And if I could somehow, again, magnify what they're trying to do and spread their message, then I think I'm doing my job. It's kind of weird. It kind of went from a hobby to almost like an obligation, or you know what I mean, of how I could use it to make a positive impact. So again, I appreciate all those kind words, man, because it is a lot of hard work, and I don't want to scare anyone who's listening to this from starting their own podcast. You can do it, and you can actually do it really cheap. And anyone who needs help, please reach out to me. I've helped like literally, I think over 15 podcasts get up and running. But it's really fun. It's cheap. You could do it, and it's just one of those, anything you get into, right? It's just repetitiveness. You just keep going. It took me I think 7 to 8 episodes before I found my voice, I guess you could say, right? I think what makes mine unique is, like, you know this, Justin, I like to not, I like to keep it more like coffee talk, cigar talk, where it's just like as if like no one's recording, like it's not being recorded, just really natural, laid back, fun, you know, not so scripted. And it's a lot of fun, and I appreciate the kind word, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just speaking truth, man. And he does, he has a very dynamic way of interviewing his guests, and it's, you know, like you said, coffee talk, you know, there might be some swear words here and there, but it's all in good fun. And for those of you that are in personal development, you understand that these are subconscious triggers, right? These are things that are going to trigger us or anchor us to maximize our passion, to maximize our results. So again, kudos to you. I want to touch on, EJ, sure. I'm going to throw you a softball. We're going to go off script for a little bit here. Sure. So I'm going to start throwing you some curveballs now, because I know you love curveballs.
I do.
Can you tell us about your favorite story of failure? Because I don't know about you, but I love stories of failure. Tell us about your favorite story of failure, in obviously specifically, if you could, you know, the context around being an entrepreneur.
Oh, man. There's too many to count, man. I think if you're not, I think what people don't understand is failure is, if you're not failing, you're not growing. That's the honest truth, right? And my favorite story of failure is, I feel like I'm failing every day. But the thing is as you continue to grow, and as you're able to gain that confidence and that ability to keep pushing and having that persistence and consistency, you begin to start to, you know, win more than you fail, I guess you could say. You know, I have so many failures. I mean, going back to my podcast, I feel like there's something that goes wrong like every episode. I'm not joking, man. I've had the power go out. I've had batteries die. I've had the memory card be full. There was a time where I didn't even turn on the recorder. Oh my gosh, you name it. I've had so many failures, but I think like the experience alone always made it fun, and I always pivoted. Like I always recognized right away, oh crap, it's not recording or something like that, right? Like for instance, I usually do only like one person guest, right? Just one guest, like no more than two people, myself and my guest. And there was a few very select times where I had two guests, and that changes the game, right? That's like a whole new person. That's a whole new responsibility, right? And it's funny because you have to turn on the recorder for all three of the mics, and I come to realize that my recorder wasn't on, but theirs was. So that was good, I guess, but, you know, being like – you start to build high standards and you expect more of yourself, especially when you've been doing something for such a long time. I've been doing this for about a year and a half, and I've grown so much of what I want. And I had to pivot where luckily I was so close as far as distance to one of my guests, and that mic was still able to pick up my voice. But of course, when it came to editing, the quality just was completely different. Of course, you know, having a mic right in front of you versus a mic, you know, kind of far from me, right? So it's just one of those things where, like, I feel like that's just one example. I feel like every day we fail at something, right? But it's just really how you what are your choices after that, right? I mean, in regards to my nursing career, oh my gosh, like if people don't know this about me, like when I got into my nursing profession, I was one of maybe four males in my class. I was maybe second to youngest. I was on academic probation for like the first three semesters. Like literally, I was people probably were just like, dude, who is this kid? He ain't gonna make it. I don't blame him. I was a mess, man. I don't know what happened, but halfway through the fourth semester, I don't know, things just clicked, and I was able to pass with flying colors. Graduate. I was able to pass my licensing exam the first time. And again, like, you know, everyone just goes through these failures, and there's going to be a lot of people that discount you, that discredit you. And I get this question all the time too. And I hope you don't mind me bringing this up. People always ask me, how's the support been with your entrepreneurial endeavors, with your podcast? And I always tell them, you know what? I'm very surprised, because some of my biggest supporters were people that weren't close to me or people I just met, complete strangers, right? And people always ask me, how do you feel about that? And I always have to remind people, because again, I'm a very perspective person. You have to realize that sometimes the way people support you may not be in the form of what you typically would think. For instance, like someone resharing your podcast episode or someone buying merchandise, right? People show their support in different ways, but you'll be surprised, man. Like, again, I've had so many different people that I don't even know be like my number one supporters, right? And it just goes to show that I think what I'm trying to say is, and this is another thing, I'm going to get a little off topic. Some of the commonalities I found with some of the most remarkable people who've been on my podcast was one, they didn't know what the hell they were doing in regards to their journey, right? And second, they never gave up, right? They never gave up, and they just stayed consistent. And now they're in the, you know, they're happy. They're doing their things. They're doing some incredible things. And that's one of the things that I want to do, right? I don't want to give up. I want to continue to strive to win. And again, I want to be able to pay that forward and show someone like, hey, look, like the odds may be against you, right? People are going to discredit you. You may be going into foreign territory. You're going to be going through a lot of fear and uncertainty. But I promise you that if you stick it out and you never give up, you're gonna learn a lot about yourself, and you're gonna take yourself to the next level, you know. And that's a guarantee. I guarantee it if you never give up and you stay consistent. So yeah. And I guarantee you're gonna fail too. Let me add that again. I guarantee you're gonna fail. So
that's why I love failure, because failure is, as you said, what makes us grow. You know, Tony Robbins says people are motivated by either their greatest opportunity, but more than likely by their greatest pain,
yes,
i.e. failure. And I've shared on recent, episodes, that I had my own recent pain a couple months ago that just absolutely sparked something in me, like awoken a sleeping lion, okay? And so for any of you out there that have been there, you know that failure is what shapes us. Now, if you continue to fail over and over and over again, that's basically the definition of insanity. We all know that. But having failure strategically placed in your life, that to me is a sign from God or whatever higher power that you call to get your shit together and whip it into shape, right? And oftentimes it works out for the best. If you heed those signs and you take it and you apply it and you move forward through that failure, right? As Steve Jobs said, you fail fast, fail forward. Failure can be the greatest tool out there on the planet. That's just my personal perspective. I can tell you, you're kind of on a similar train of thought as well. So, I love it. I love the whole concept of failure personally.
I think if you fail, it's automatic sign. Like, okay, what's next? Or what did I do wrong? What can I do different? Right. What are you trying to do to improve after that? Right. And I also think because failure has a lot to do, almost failure and fear go side and side, right? I also think too, like, again, people are so like, they don't want to go in that direction of uncertainty, in that direction of failure. But I encourage everyone, when you see uncertainty and you see that fear or that, I don't know, like you're going to fail, it's almost like a sign like you're going in the right direction. Because if you're just going to stand there and not learn about yourself and what you're capable of doing and growing, I mean, you're just going to stay stagnant. You're almost going to be like this COVID-19 where you're just confined to your place, right? So yeah, man, it's some incredible. It's crazy how what you can accomplish when you and your outlook as soon as you start shifting your perspective a little bit. And it's hard, right? But if you could do that, I promise you, you could take your, you could put yourself in a better position. No question, man. So.
100%, 1,000%, actually. Well, we got time for one more question, and then I want to make sure we leave time for you to share where listeners can find you following the show. Sure. So the final question for today is, tell everyone something that not the average person would know about you that is unique and different and maybe that not everyone would know about you.
Oh man.
And it doesn't have to be business related. It could be totally off the wall. It can be embarrassing. It can be.
Okay. I was just going to say what I was going to say is I don't think it's going to be unique. I think it's just going to be weird and embarrassing. I don't know why, but I have like this, we're just talking about fear, right? So here we go. Everyone's going to be like, okay, this guy, he's just totally contradicting himself. But I don't know why you're going to be like, I can't believe you just said that on air. But I have this weird fear. I don't know why, but, and it's crazy because no one's traveling right now. But when I travel, I always overpack my underwear. I have no idea why, man. I always overpack my underwear because I feel like I'm always going to run out. And I don't know if people like have that fear of like, they're underpacking, but I always feel I'm underpacking my clothes, especially when it comes to my underwear. And I have no freaking idea why, but that's totally non-business related. So hopefully no one else finds me weird after this interview.
That's what I was looking for, something random and out of the box that would break. But that's perfect.
That has to be it, man. I mean, I consider myself weird already. Like, I just always consider myself a weird dude just because of the way I think. And maybe that's because that speaks to who I am and why I look at things differently. But, you know, there's just things that I'm beginning to learn about myself, especially when I come to find too. When you're a podcaster, you're putting yourself out there, right? And as a result of that, I've been blessed enough to be interviewed and being a guest of some of the most remarkable podcasts or radio, talk radio shows such as this one, right? And what I find is you begin to learn about yourself so much. And Justin, I told you this off camera or off air that I love being guests on, you know, these talk radios and podcasts, because not only am I managing and worrying about all the stuff when you're a host, but I just feel like every show is different. Every show asks something different. They bring something to light that I never realized in regards to my life. And once I begin to like really pinpoint and start to identify, like, wow, like, no wonder I'm the way I am. It's because of this. And I can't believe I didn't realize it until this episode that, you know, and I don't know where I'm going with that, but I don't know. I'm weird, man. I'm just weird.
Aren't all entrepreneurs weird? We all have a little screw loose somewhere, I think.
Yeah, you know what? Someone called, I forgot who it was, one of my buddies, they said entrepreneurs are freakish. And that could be freakish in regards to their work ethic, the way they think. Freakish, they're just weird. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure me and you are just like that. That's why me and you get along so well.
Absolutely. Well, EJ, it's been a pleasure. So without further ado, can you share with everyone where they can find you following the show?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to if you find value or want to, again, listen to the podcast, my podcast is The Parables. It's on all podcast streaming platforms. Again, we do video as well, which brings the experience to a whole nother level. So you could actually find that on YouTube, The Parables Podcast. Otherwise, if you want to reach out to me, the best way to reach out is probably on Instagram at It's EJ Cruz. That's ITSEJAYCRUZ. You can also visit my website at www.ejcruz.com. Please reach out to me. Anyone that's looking to start their podcast or really enjoyed this episode and found value out of it, you know, you just found out here's a nurse manager who's a podcaster but has this fear of underpacking his underwear. Please, by all means, please reach out to me. I love meeting new people. Again, I love, I'm in multiple ecosystems and networks. I would be glad to direct you in something that I think could help fulfill you, help drive you and unlock your full potential. Again, I just, I love life and I love positive energy, and I would love to connect with anyone that's about the same, you know? So again, I appreciate all of this, Justin, I really do.
Awesome. It's been an absolute privilege and a pleasure to have you on today, EJ. And for all you listeners out there, if you need dance lessons as well, I believe EJ is also a master at the Tootsie Slide. or at least I saw that on Facebook anyway, not claiming anything. But anyway, Mr. EJ Cruz, without further ado, thanks again for coming on. Was such a pleasure. Had a lot of fun. Folks, you can find all our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, also streamed on iHeartRadio. Again, this is Justin Nimmergood filling in for our absent Bruce Cameron today. EJ, thanks again for coming on. Folks, we'll see you again next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Have a good day, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Justin.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.